Holy Gospel comes from Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus continued, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see the things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." I invite you to be seated. There's something about this season of Advent that is, and has for as long as I remember, just been appealing to me. I just love these simple 4 weeks that we take to prepare ourselves before Christmas. And I've been thinking a lot this week about what it is about Advent that is so appealing to me. And I've come to the conclusion that as a child, most of Advent's appeal was likely that it was counting down to Christmas. That at the end of Advent, we had family, we had fun, we had music, and we had presents. And while I still appreciate all of those things, I like to think that as an adult, I've come to a deeper appreciation of this season. That perhaps now, it's not just the breakneck pace towards Christmas that I appreciate about Advent. But that Advent is a moment and a season where I can reestablish patterns that have fallen off. I can pick up new habits and spiritual practices that I hope will enhance my life. I can take a moment to recenter my heart, to quiet my own inner voice and listen for the still small whisper of God. So maybe you have celebrated Advent for as long as you can remember, or maybe this is your first time moving through these 4 weeks as a journey towards Christmas. In either case, I hope you take an opportunity to prepare yourself, to step back from the busyness and the craziness and the wrapping and the shopping and all the things that we know are coming, to step back and be present with God, to take a moment to be ready. See, there's something that I've been thinking about as I try to process what it means for us to prepare, what it means for us to be ready, and I keep coming back to this thought of having to clean my house. A terrifying way to spend your week. And I have realized that there is a pattern that has emerged in the Bowser household. See, once upon a time, legend tells us the house was clean. And then life happened. And the mail showed up. And the artwork projects came home. And the laundry got folded but left on the floor, my own personal sin. And then we journeyed through life and suddenly there was clutter everywhere you looked. There's just stuff. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but it's all over the house. And so then we find ourselves 2 days away from welcoming guests into our home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever it might be, and we spend 48 hours panic cleaning throughout the whole house, shoving everything we can into a drawer or into a closet or hiding in a back room or under a bed and discovering that we shoved a cat in the closet along the way. And the family finally arrives and we breathe a sigh of relief. The house is finally presentable. And the family leaves. And Amanda and I look deep into one another's eyes and we vow, we will keep it clean this time. And the pattern repeats itself again and again. From your laughter, I detect that some of you are familiar with this pattern. Perhaps it is all too true to our own circumstance this morning, but some of you, I have learned, live in this state of euphoric bliss that I do not understand, in which your house is permanently prepared to welcome people into your home. And while I am amazed and flabbergasted, I am equally envious of this opportunity, because I think to myself this morning, what would it mean for me to live in a way in which I was always ready? Ignore the clutter, ignore the mess. What would it mean if I were always ready to welcome someone into my home? How would my life be different if every day I was prepared? See, Advent for us often falls into this same cycle where we spend the first 11 months of the year letting life clutter around us, and then we spend 4 weeks panic cleaning for ourselves before Jesus is born. What would it mean? What would it look like for our lives if instead we lived every day ready to welcome Jesus? Prepared to see Jesus come into our lives and change our hearts forever. This is the promise of Advent. Because Advent is this story, this sacred story that we hear over and over again so well that most of us can tell it by heart, and yet we remember that it's not the story that the world tells at this same time of year. It's not the story of the presence or of the hurry or of the wrapping or of the busyness. It's a story of God breaking into our world to change our lives forever. I always find it slightly comical that we start this season of Advent, a season which I have learned and believe deeply should be a season of hope and joy, a season with promises of peace and love, and the first reading we hear every year is one of destruction. Every year we start with this notion that the end is coming, that there will be a time when the powers of the heavens are shaken, when distress comes upon the nations. I'm increasingly convinced, however, that these teachings of Jesus, these apocalyptic scenes that we get throughout the Bible, are not meant to be taken as stories of destruction for destruction's sake. Rather, as Pastor Gary so helpfully reminded us last week, these are moments in which the curtain is being pulled back. It's an opportunity for us to see beyond the world, to see what it is that God has in store for us, how it is that God will go about redeeming all of creation. And the reading we hear from Luke this morning is no different. Yes, Jesus starts by warning of the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars and the distress among the nations and the powers of the heavens being shaken, but this is not a message of fear for the disciples. This is an encouragement to be ready. Notice, Jesus does not instruct them to cower and hide when these things happen. Instead, Jesus says, stand up, raise your head. This is a posture of confidence, a posture of strength, posture that says, I am ready. This is the encouragement that Jesus has for his disciples, because he warns them, look all around you and you will see people who are cowering in fear and foreboding of all the things that are coming across the world, but not you. You hold on to a different story, and so you will stand up and you will raise your head. Put yourselves in the mindset of the disciples for a moment. Imagine living in a world ruled by a Roman regime that kept peace through gruesome punishment, and certainly you would have had friends and neighbors who were hiding in fear, fainting in foreboding of what was happening around them. Or fast forward about 50 years and be one of the first readers of Luke's gospel and imagine having watched the temple in Jerusalem be destroyed. I imagine you too would find yourself wishing you could faint, wishing you could hide from this foreboding. And yet Jesus says, stand up. Raise your head. Your redemption is drawing near. See, for Jesus, this encouragement to stand up is not merely a blind faith. It's not merely a promise of some greater security. It is a promise that God has greater things in store for you. Imagine what it is that we face in this world, because certainly in our own lives, we see ways in which distress comes upon the nations at a global level, right? We see nations at war with one another. We see violence in our schools. We see drugs in places we never imagined they could be. We see people who live their lives in fear. And yet God says to them, stand up, raise your head. And still, these same moments come to us on a much more personal level, because we know that the powers of the heavens can be shaken even in our own lives as we sit in the doctor's office and wait for the diagnosis, as we're the lone survivor of the car crash, as we wait for the adoption papers to clear, as we are forced to make a choice between food and medicine, as we watch the spouse take another drink, knowing the abuse that is about to come, we find ourselves cowering in fear, and yet Jesus says, stand up. Raise your head. Your redemption is coming. We do not stand out of blind ignorance. We do not raise our head out of blind loyalty. We stand up because whatever it is that we face in this life, whatever struggle, whatever trial, whatever heartache or hardship, it is not what God intended for us. We raise our head because God has a greater plan for our lives. Because God intends to lift you up out of this world. God intends to make a way out of the pain and the hardship. God wants you to know in your bones that whatever you face in this world, the worst thing that can happen to you will never be the last, because God has a greater plan for you. And so we stand up and we raise our heads because redemption is coming. Now, it's all well and good for us to imagine living our lives where we have to clean our house at the last minute and get ready for the guests to come. But when we think about our life and the guest that we are welcoming being Jesus, this last minute, last ditch panic clean, it's just not that efficient, and it's certainly not that effective. Jesus' encouragement to us and to his disciples is to stay alert at all times. And Advent is our moment to do just that. This is our time to prepare. Prepare not so that we can clean frantically for 4 weeks and then go back to leaving the laundry out after Christmas, but prepare so that we will never be caught off guard. Because the day will come across every person on the earth. And so we want to live every day ready to welcome our Redeemer. So take a stance of readiness. Offer forgiveness because you have been forgiven. Share the treasures of this world because they were never yours to begin with. Pour out love with every word that you speak because love has been poured out upon you. Clothe every body that is naked. Feed every stomach that is empty. Heal every body in the name of Jesus that is sick, because this is the promise that even when we want to faint in fear and foreboding of what is coming across the world, even when we don't know the plan that God has in this life, God's kingdom is coming near. So stand up. Raise your head. Redemption is coming. God loves each of you. and I do too.